Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
This is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year A, Pentecost Sunday. We are using the reading from Numbers, where Moses gets some help from the Spirit, Acts, where the Spirit blows some doors open, and John, where Jesus breathes the Spirit on his disciples. Will the Spirit blow through this podcast into your sermon? Join us and find out.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so that they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for Pentecost, Year A, is Numbers 11, verses 24 to 30. This comes in the middle of the wanderings about in the wilderness. The people have been complaining that they don't have any meat. And Moses goes to the Lord and says, "What am I supposed to do with these people? Why did you put me in charge of all these people? I can't do this. Just kill me." And God says, "Yeah, no. I'll work it out for you, and I'll send them meat, so much meat that comes out their noses."
Really, yeah,
says that. But that's
it does.
But
not in this passage.
None of that is part of this passage. So that's the setup. So then we have this story. So Moses goes to tell the people what's going on, and he gathers 70 of the elders, and they all come around the tent of meeting, and the Lord comes down to have a meeting with Moses and splits the spirit that is on Moses and distributes it to the elders as well, so that they begin to prophesy. There are even two of the elders who didn't show up for the ceremony, and they're still in the camp. And after everybody else was done prophesying,
These two guys
start prophesying that are in the camp. So Joshua, son of Nun, who's going to take over the job eventually, says to Moses, "Make them stop doing that." And Moses says, "Why? What? You're jealous for me? No, don't worry about it. I wish that everybody could prophesy. I wish everyone were a prophet." And they go back to camp. So we're going to see what we can do with this one. We've got four of the intelligences that we're going to talk about today. And so we have a body smart illustration and special effect, music smart illustration, people smart illustrations and special effects, and self smart illustration and special effect. And Molly's going to start us off with the body.
Okay. This is one of three passages for Pentecost where we consider what it's like to have the Spirit upon you. Acts and John are also going to be talking about receiving the Holy Spirit. But this particular one, we're looking at it in body smart because we're wondering what it might feel like to have the Spirit rest on you. We're wondering, is it heavy like an ox yoke or a wet wool blanket? Or is it light, like a cotton sweater you throw over your shoulders just in case, or like sunscreen or bug spray, something that's super light? Consider that. Use that as an illustration. Have people think about what the Spirit would feel like actually resting on them. And as a special effect, actually have some or all of those as props and drape them around yourself or somebody who volunteers. And consider the different circumstances under which the Spirit might ride heavy or light. That would be an interesting people smart group discussion as well.
It would indeed. For Music Smart, just a suggested song here. Moses wanted everybody to prophesy. So I was trying to think how we would talk about that with Music Smart. And I got to thinking about old musicals where...
Suddenly somebody starts singing.
And then everybody in the crowd starts singing along with them, you know. And so went and found a song called Everybody Sing by Judy Garland from one of her early movies from 1937 or 38. Mm-hmm. She was just a kid, and she sings this song, Everybody Sing. And as she's doing it, she's like in a terminal for...
A bus terminal?
A bus terminal.
Or train, probably a train terminal.
Yeah. And everybody starts singing along, of course, so as happens. So there are a few things in there in the lyrics that are not politically correct anymore. So, you know, if that's a thing, then there it is.
There's
you know.
Your warning.
But anyway, the idea is just gang, everybody singing.
All right. For People Smart, we're looking at the second half of verse 25, where the elders all prophesied together, but then they didn't do it again, which suggests that the prophesying that they did at that time was sufficient to be able to calm the people down and to get some peace in the camp. You know, the people were all upset and everybody was getting a little riled up because they were hungry. And so maybe the elders were given enough of an opportunity to be able to speak to their people at that time to get things back on an even keel. And that made me think, is an illustration, it's a lot like a recalcitrant teen who suddenly hears your words given repeatedly in the mouth of another person, which does the trick and gets them to listen. And then they come home and say, well, so-and-so said blah, blah, blah. And you think, oh, I've been saying that for years. Or it could be like sending out surrogates on a campaign trail to, quote, speak the language of a specific region. Mm. Say, for example, a candidate for national office who doesn't really speak the language of a region incorporates someone friendly to their campaign to speak on their behalf in the vernacular. So what you can do as a special effect is break into groups and discuss how hearing the same story told by different people affects the story or you and your hearing of it.
Continuing on with People Smart, thinking about the 70 elders prophesying, got to thinking about when groups of leaders make proclamations or bring out the message of how things ought to be, and got to thinking about the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which was started in 1948 and eventually codified a good bit later than that. I think it was in the 60s, maybe. But we have a link for you that will take you to some information about that. But that same idea of leaders coming from
all over
and then sending out a message, hey, everybody, this is how it's supposed to be.
Right.
Going sort of the opposite direction, thinking about Joshua and his response to these elders prophesying. And it's
the elders outside.
In particular, yes. So it's almost like he wants to set up an exclusive club for Moses the prophet, you know, and that got me thinking of the He-Man Woman Haters Club from The Little Rascals or Calvin and Hobbes Clubhouse of Gross.
Get rid of slimy girls.
Just don't want to have anything to do with them. It's just us. That sort of thing. And then we also have a link to some expensive and heavily themed clubs that this one particular column was writing about that they actually wanted to be in. They thought they were all pretty cool.
Oh, not like, what is it, Groucho Marx, who wouldn't be a part of any club that would allow him in.
Right, yeah. There's that too. Anyway, so we have a link to some of those. So Joshua, I guess, wanted Israel to be predominantly a not-for-profit organization. Okay.
Yeah.
For special effect, invite some folks. And this one you need to be careful about, and maybe you need to rework this, how we got this phrased. But invite your folks to consider the attitude of your own congregation's elders. And how do they address their own position of authority? Do they defend it or do they use it to seek to equip the saints. You'd want to speak the truth in love here and be careful. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be wise.
And if you're in a good place, this might be the exercise to do because, you know, there are no issues. But right. It could be that this might be the very thing you need to use to address any issues you might be having. So use your discretion. That's just an option. Again, all of these are options, and the risky ones, you know.
Pray your way into it.
Exactly. And then finally, for self-smart, we're looking at verse 29, wondering if Moses was genuinely wishing that everyone would have the experience and gift of prophesying, or was he just tired of it all and he wanted everyone or anyone to take the job or have the experience of how miserable he felt with it. I was reading about this particular passage, and I was reading Howard Wallace's commentary on it, and he said this: God's Spirit will not be confined to human-made holy places. Moses recognizes this with obvious delight. He's going with the idea that Moses is excited about this. Moses does not express anger or regard the young men as having acted presumptuously. When his deputy Joshua expresses dismay that Eldad and Medad have acted improperly, we almost hear a chuckle in the voice of Moses. Would that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. So you could use that as an illustration to talk about Moses' desire for other people to share in his responsibility or maybe burden.
Or both. For special effect, still thinking about verse 29, think of a time when you were the expert. And was it a position that you guarded to keep others from taking your place? Or was it something that you wanted everyone to learn how to do?
Okay, let's go on. The second reading for Pentecost year A is what it is for every year, practically. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through verse 21. It's the story of Pentecost. They're all together, they're in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, filling the entire house where they were sitting. The Holy Spirit comes on them, and they go running out into the streets, and the residents of Jerusalem at the time, visitors and pilgrims, and people who lived there are all just astonished that they're hearing their own languages being spoken by these Galileans. And so they're a little skeptical, and they scoff, and some are amazed, and some say, they're just drunk. So Peter, hearing that, raises his voice and addresses them and preaches one heck of a sermon, because at the end of it, 3,000 people are converted to the way. Anyway, so we've got four of the smarts that we're going to look at in connection to this passage. We've got an illustration and special effect in iSmart. We have an illustration in BodySmart. We have an illustration and special effect in NatureSmart. And we have an illustration in SelfSmart. So we're going to start with I.
Okay. So in verses 9 through 11, we have the folks in the city talking about naming where they're all from, Medes and Parthians and Elamites. And
right. And this is the verses that I was always given to read because I knew how to pronounce
them. Right. Yes.
So they think.
Be sure and give it to your first time liturgist.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
So, well, iSmart has to do with both visual imagery and visual inputs, but also with spatial relationships. And so thinking about where all these different countries and cities lie with respect to Jerusalem is an iSmart problem. And so the way to get at that might be with maps. One of our favorite things for iSmart is pulling out the maps. Some folks have blessedly done the work for us here and marked out where all of these places are on the map, and it's just kind of a radial thing, and it's pretty cool. So you could make use of that, and you could make that a special effect too. You could print it, you could project it, do whatever, giving proper credit, of course. But then you might also, for comparison, name similar communities or states or countries that surround the city where you are. And so they get a sense.
You could even take your map and that map and superimpose them over the top of each other.
That would be very cool.
Which I just thought
of. That's a great idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then for another special effect, in verses 3, 17, and 18, it talks about the Spirit being poured out. And so if you want to get dangerous, you could pour some burning alcohol. Now, there's we may have done this before.
Well, we talked about it, we think, way back when we started this podcast, yeah, in Advent year C.
Yeah, the baptism of fire, and right, we've set the baptismal font on fire, but this is different. This is there are some drinks that have high enough alcohol content that you can set them on fire, and particularly in Mexico, coffee.
Right.
They do this,
and you have
like two gravy boats.
Uh-huh.
And you pour it back and forth with it flaming, and it's just really awesome. So we have a link to a video that shows you a guy doing this. Mm-hmm. And we've tried it, and it does work. You have to be really careful.
Yes.
We provide this for entertainment value only and take no responsibility if you try to set something on fire. But right, if you do, be sure and take all proper precautions.
Yes,
but absolutely. It would definitely catch some people's attention.
For body smart, remembering that the body smart concerns athleticism, physical expressions, and things that affect the body. And so we're looking at verse 14 particularly, where Peter stands up and says, these people aren't drunk, as you suppose. And so we're looking specifically at the way alcohol affects the body. And we have a clip to an old Jackie Chan movie called Drunk Master. Or Drunken Master.
Drunken Master.
Drunken Master. It is an actual martial arts fighting style where you're just kind of loose and you're all over the place, and it kind of gets your opponent, keeps them guessing as to what's going to happen next. You may be down, you may be up, you may be spinning, you may be doing something, and they just have no clue what's going to happen. So it's a fun clip to see this, and it's very obviously dubbed. but we also have a link about...
Yeah, and well, the thing about that is that while his character is drunk, He
is not.
Is definitely
right.
not.
He is sober. He's pretending to be drunk.
Right.
Right.
So
right.
He is not as drunk as you suppose.
No. He is not drunk as you suppose. Right. Thank you. Yeah. And also we have a link to some symptoms that might make people think you're drunk that are you're not actually drunk. It's 67 different physical things that could happen to you that give you symptoms of dizziness and nausea and all of those, you know, the vertigo and stuff. And it's rather a long list. And some of them are pretty common, too, like dehydration. So you can go take a look at that and see what sorts of things might be symptoms of drunkenness without having consumed any alcohol.
Is the Holy Spirit on the list?
No.
No, probably not. Mm. For Nature Smart, we use metaphors for different sounds and weather phenomena. Like for a tornado, the sound, everyone always describes a tornado as sounding like a freight train.
Then it roars.
Yeah. And roaring is another one. A strong wind roars like mm-hmm. what? Like a lion, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Or a howling wind like mm-hmm. a wolf. Right. And mm-hmm. so these are, well, okay, so a freight train isn't a natural thing, but a tornado is. So the connection with the wind and these different animals and their noises in particular make this a nature smart element. Then for special effect, if you want to go with the strong wind for verse 2, we have a link for you to a couple of wind sound effects and also a wind noise generator.
So you can make your own wind.
So you can, yeah, it's a simulation that produces wind noises, but it also comes with an equalizer, so you can play around with it and make different parts of it stand out. And it's really cool. And that one comes to us from mynoise.net. So have a look at that or a listen, as the case may be, and your folks will be blown away.
Okay, we're moving on now. The last one for self-smart. And remember, the self-smart is internal reflection of self as compared to outward expression, ways of seeing how you as a person grow. So we have some illustrations. thinking that the disciples' behavior is really quite a transformation, because as they begin this passage, they're hiding out. They're in fear. And then at the end, or toward the middle anyway, of this passage, they're out in the streets and they're speaking exuberantly and they're full of energy and they're out proclaiming. It's a little bit like Stanley Ipkiss in The Mask. And we have a link to that movie, the one starring Jim Carrey. It's very obvious the transformation that happens with Jim Carrey when he puts on the mask. Another thing that you could use in an illustration would be this question. What would your transformation look like if God poured the Spirit out on you? What would be different? And is this transformation, particularly for Peter, like the hero's journey archetype as described by Joseph Campbell? And we have a link to that, so you can go see what that actually, the hero's journey, what that actually is, and see if Peter's transformation fits there.
Okay, let's go on. The gospel lesson for Pentecost, year A, is John 20, verses 19 through 23. This is on the first Easter and in the evening of the day, and we use this passage on Easter 2, but we're not using the whole lot of it this time. It's just a bit. So when it was evening on that first day, that first Easter, the disciples were locked in their room. And
you sit there and think about what you've done, young man.
And Jesus appears and wishes them peace, and they freak out. And so he shows them the wounds in his hands and side, and then they rejoice that they are seeing the Lord. And again, he says, peace be with you. And then, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. He breathes on them to give them the Holy Spirit and tells them that if they forgive the sins of any, they'll be forgiven. If they retain the sins of any, they will be retained. So we're going to think through some of the implications of all of that with four of the intelligences. So we've got math smart, illustration and special effect, body smart, illustration and special effect, music smart, illustration, and people smart, illustration and special effect. So Molly, start us off.
Okay, well, we're going to start with math. And again, as we have demonstrated rather a lot lately, math intelligence is not necessarily just about manipulating numbers and crunching numbers and solving mathematical problems, but it's also about logic, the applying logical, rational, reasonable thought to situations. And
it's also about graphs and
graphs charts and charts and things like that, which
like
is
that
what
too.
We're doing today. So we're looking at verse 23, where Jesus tells the disciples, you're going to have the power to be able to forgive sins, which for them must have been just shocking. Because, you know, remember in Mark chapter 2, verse 7 and Luke 5, 21, where Jesus says to people, your sins are forgiven, and the scribes and the Pharisees are just scandalized, because who can forgive sins but God alone? Only God was the one who could forgive sins. And so Jesus taking that upon himself in his earthly ministry was scandalous. And here he is saying, once he on the other side of the resurrection, giving the Spirit to his disciples, this is something you can do now. So as an illustration, John continues to build an equivalence between Jesus and the believer. Who can forgive sins but God? Well, apparently Jesus and those who receive the Holy Spirit. So we have a Venn diagram about who can forgive sins, and we have a link to that, so you can go take a look at that, remembering that John is equating Jesus and God all the way through the gospel, and the Venn diagram is where you group things that are similar and dissimilar and see where the overlap is. So that's we've taken this idea of forgiving sins and who can forgive sins in particular mindsets and have graphed that out. So go take a look at that link to get a look at it. We'll have it in the show notes at www.morethanhearing.org.
Cool. For body smart, looking at verse 22, where Jesus breathed on them, and this is calling to mind.
He's breathing on me.
Calling to mind little brothers, apparently. But also Genesis, where God formed humanity out of the clay and breathed on that form and brought life into it. And so Jesus is doing here, except the next level, powering up. And so it's a yeah, it's like a video game plus one, or like spiritual CPR.
Cool.
Bringing us back to life in a new way. Then one of the organizations that we've been involved with is Genon Ministries, Logos Ministry, and we've got a link for them. But one of the things that we say in that organization is that worship is to the body of Christ what breathing is for the human body. And so you can explore that analogy, the intaking of life-giving oxygen, the expelling of toxins in bodily breathing, and then how would that look for spiritual breathing in the body of Christ and our worship? So how does your congregation then, how does your congregation's worship give life to the body of Christ?
Breathing in and breathing out.
Yeah. For special effect, invite folks in your congregation who can safely do so to hold their breath for as long as they can, or to expel as much air from their lungs as they can and then don't inhale.
Oh my gosh.
It doesn't take too long before it becomes distressing.
I'm thinking about it and feeling distressed.
So as we remember to appreciate our physical breath in doing that exercise, how can we then also remember Jesus' breath of the Holy Spirit upon us?
Cool. We have an illustration for Music Smart. I don't think this song is particularly sacred, but I always hear a plea to the Spirit when I listen to it. It's by the group Evanescence. It's called Bring Me to Life. And we have a link to a video of the music itself with the lyrics superimposed over the top of it, so you can see the lyrics and hear the music at the same time. David says he thinks it's kind of like a contemporary psalm or can be read as such. The plea is to an individual, a lover, somebody who's bringing that individual back to life. But I've always heard it as a plea to the Spirit, as a plea to God, bring me to life. Wake me up inside, bring me to life.
Yeah. For People Smart, we have a couple of quotes for you here about the situation that Jesus has created in the community. In verse 23, where he's talking about the sins being forgiven and not, John Petty at Progressive Involvement writes, "The new community is to be characterized by the forgiveness of sins. Conversely, if sins are not forgiven, they are retained within the community, which is potentially very dangerous and may threaten the vitality of the community."
It'd be kind of like holding in the toxin.
Yeah.
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 Becoming poisoned.
Yeah. Or letting a boil fester or something. Ah, blah. Then another one is on the other verse where Jesus sends them out. And this is Jill Duffield from Looking into the Lectionary at the Presbyterian Outlook. And she writes, "The magnitude of this exchange is mind-blowing if we stop for just a second and think about it. We are practicing within the crucible of worship what we are to be doing out in the world, every day, offering, extending, living in ways that further and foster shalom, the saving, healing, wholeness, mercy, grace, and love of Jesus Christ. Just as the Father has sent me, I send you." Wow. And that really is something when you think about it. Mm-hmm. So for special effect then, connecting with this in verses 19 and 21, where Jesus says, "Peace be with you. For this day in worship, if you practice the passing of the peace, consider changing the language a little bit and invite people to say something like, may the entirety of God rest upon you, or may the fullness of God dwell within you." Something that expresses more than just the, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you kind of thing, or even peace be with you, but the fullness of the presence of Christ in the Holy Spirit be with you.
Yeah.
Something.
Throw a blanket on him.
Yeah. I've heard that idea somewhere. Yeah. People Smart here is about the interactions between people, awareness of other people's emotions, thoughts, motivations, and such, and how to connect with those. So this is
a good opportunity to practice
that. A good opportunity to do that by laying some heavy theology on one another. Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing. Send us a tweet at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea that you liked even better than ours, let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text, so you can see some of our ideas that don't make it into the podcast. Those also might be helpful or give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes. Or you can point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store, too. You can subscribe there directly, and you can support the show by writing a review, which will help others find us more easily. And of course, you can always share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week. So in the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.